It's on. Jennifer, can you hear me?
Hey Rob, how are you? I'm
Good.
here.
How are you?
I'm okay.
You're in the office.
I am. I'm working in the branch today.
It's a miracle.
I know, right? We're on a skeleton crew, so we do 2 day or 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off.
So is Rick in the office or no?
No. It's only one manager, one sales assistant, and one ops rep. So we can take care of the mail and deposits and all that
Terrific. Well, we'd love to get everybody back in the office so we could do our folders.
stuff. I know.
So, Rick, how are you? Good, good, good. So what's on your mind this good afternoon?
You're on mute, Rick.
So I got caught up. Hey there.
There you go. Now we got you.
So I got caught up with last week's work assignments from the book. I got the Powerful Engagement, and I read that. And certainly, I don't want to be anything like the guy in the book who, in chapter two, who gets assessed. You know, he's returning 75 emails a day, and his life seems like it's a crazy, hectic mess. I don't ever want to be there.
Good.
You know, I've been reading the book. I mean, Jen and I have been. We've got a segmentation in place, and I've been starting to contact people. It's interesting in that some of the people don't necessarily want two face-to-face meetings. They're happy with one, but they like the idea of, you know, talking at least quarterly and getting the emails. So I guess that's a piece that Jen and I then kind of just taken, and note, like after my call today, I guess after my call today, when I talked to him, I agreed that I would be in touch with him in August. And I think that it sounds like really what I should have probably done is set a date at the end of the call today for August. Cause what I think what I'm reading from the book is that then prior to that call, an agenda is going to go out to him.
Right.
With the things that we want to review.
Right. I mean, it'd be like, just think about us, right? You want to run it just like we run these calls. So we give you an agenda. You know what's going to happen. We do the call, and then we give you an executive summary of the homework that needs to be done. And Laurie sends you the follow up. So it's just think of it. You're training your client. All right. So you're a consultant to your client, and you're training your client on how to be a good client and how to make. Larry Wilson used to say, your job is to help people grow up and make better decisions. the grow up part was, you know, deal with the fact that you are a human being, and the day you're born, you know you're going to die, right? I mean, as a baby, you don't know that. But for the rest of your life, you wrestle with that reality. And a lot of people basically ignore it and don't plan, don't buy life insurance. You know, the average human being just doesn't make adult decisions. They make childlike decisions because they ignore the reality of their life. So they don't save enough. They just don't do the things, you know. A sign of an intelligent person is somebody that has got a very clear understanding of deferred gratification. So they defer the gratification. They plan for the kids. They plan for retirement, they plan for college, they plan for all kinds of things. They save the money, they're disciplined about it, they don't indulge themselves. Compared that to an immature person, what do? They indulge themselves immediately and constantly. You know, the average human being is a pleasure seeker that wants constant pleasure. And yeah, we're all pleasure seekers. But the people that do well defer their gratification.
Right.
So supernova is an example of something that's not urgent, but is it very important? And the discipline and rituals that you create with supernova will last you the rest of your life. So you pay for it once and it lasts for the rest of your life, assuming you don't abandon the good rituals that you create. It's like hiring a personal trainer. You get yourself up and running with a great regimen that's going to keep you healthy longer. And then, you know, your job is to just continuously do that. So a lot of people keep a personal trainer forever because of the accountability.
Right.
So it's that mental, you know, so throughout Jim Lehrer, if you read that, The Power of Full Engagement, the whole idea is the creation of rituals that are so strong that you continue to do them even after, you know, the period of time. Larry Wilson used to say, it takes 20 days to create a new habit. And he'd say, that's actually wrong. It takes whatever it takes. You know, it may take somebody 10 days and it might take another person 40 days. Whatever it takes is what it takes. And then how do you stay with it? Stay with it by having triggers that when you get off the path, you feel bad about it. Because you know people that work out, you know, in January, and then by February, they've stopped every year.
Right.
Right? So supernova is just a process of creating the best practice management rituals that clients value more than any others, because if they valued something more, we'd do it. But considering the fact that you have not an unlimited amount of time, those rituals are important because you can do them because clients love them, and you can do them because you have time. But you don't have unlimited time, so you can't do that for lots and lots of people. So you have to limit the number of clients. And then the payback is that when you train them properly, they stop calling. So you have no interruptions during the day, which means Jennifer can get twice as much done. Nobody walking in and surprising you and saying, oh, I just want to take a couple of minutes.
Yeah. So in Jen's case, I think it's unique in this role, in this situation, because she's also servicing two other brokers. And one of those brokers is supposed to be going away. I don't know, in the next month or so. Is that right, Jen?
Hopefully. Probably when we all get back to the branch, though, to be realistic.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I mean, believe me, this is music to her ears as far as having more control of her day. But at the same time, I really only, when this is all said and done, I'm probably only going to have her for half of her time anyway. So right. We've been discussing back and forth about the real, you know, the realities of the scheduling and using the scheduling folders that were sent, and what we really kind of concluded from that was that we're going to use the 3D system here, our internal system for scheduling of calls and appointments and tasks between the two of us.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, that.
Yeah. Jen, you can see the leverage that it can bring. I mean, if you train clients and say, look, certainly you can always call us, but call us in an emergency or when there's a market related situation. Otherwise, let's save it for our monthly call. And that you show them the folder and, you know, this is the folder and this is where you write it down. You can't see it because of the background, but basically, you know, make your notes. And then when we have our call, I'll send you an agenda. And if you'd like to add something to the agenda, please do it ahead of time. And then I can be prepared. So they're prepared. You're prepared. Very productive call. Shorter calls, less than, you know, an hour, maybe less than 40 minutes, maybe less than 20 minutes, because they're prepared and you're prepared. No more phone tag, no more interruptions, efficient, effective. And yes, it takes some time to schedule them, but it's more than makes up for it with the efficiency of the call. So, yeah. You'll see. I mean, once you get into it, you'll see how productive you are. And you should do more business and consolidate assets because you're showing a better and more disciplined, rich set of routines than your competition. So the questions on the work for the week.
So as we're getting, you know, I know I've got to create my ideal day because I haven't done that. And I guess the question behind that is, I mean, if I've got 5 calls on average per day, or potentially 5 calls or you know, calls and meetings throughout my day. I mean, those things are all scheduled.
Right.
So on average, I'm going to have at least 5 contacts during the day.
With 100 clients, yep.
With 100 clients. And I guess my question is, how do you see the most brokers structuring that part of their day? I mean, I know in the video or in the reading, you said, you know, some guys will start at 8 o'clock and some guys will start this at 9 o'clock. And you know, it's a typical, let's say we're going 9 to 5 each day. And in the midst of all of that with Supernova and these contacts with 5 people, like, are you seeing that the majority of guys are like scheduling 2 appointments in the morning, 2 in the afternoon or 3 in the afternoon? And then, you know, obviously you've got to create time in there for your marketing. So you're really running on hour long blocks. It sounds like.
Right. You are, because of the annual reviews. The annual reviews, say, are 50 minutes, an hour, but try and give yourself a break in between. But just think about it for a second. If you're going to do an in-person meeting, it's got to basically start on time and end on time because you got another one behind it, theoretically. Now, are you going to travel at all? To see clients, do you have to travel or can they all come and see you?
Typically, I work about an hour from my office. So the bulk of my clients, you know, I have a lot of clients in Harrisburg, but then I have some clients up here in the town that I live in, Selins Grove. But then I have clients that are out of state that I never actually see and meet, really rarely face to face. It's all just through phone calls. So those are people that I'm going to start using Zoom with.
Right. Now, are they in Florida or Arizona or where?
Florida, Alabama. Got some people in Maryland. Maryland's close, but some of these people are hard to really get in front of. So they're spaced out. I mean, I'd say I have 20% of my book is out of state.
Are they typically retirees or have they moved because of business?
Most of them are retired. So yeah, most of them are retired.
Okay. So we like to think that those meetings, in-person meetings, with retirees, if they don't come back, do some of them are some of them snowbirds that go back and forth?
Some of them, yes.
Yeah. So the snowbirds you can pretty well knock out while they're here. So you get them in the spring and the fall.
Okay.
When they return. Those are your two meetings. If they're permanent, then what you want to do is see if humanly possible you can batch them together. So are they in one town in Naples, or are they on the East Coast, or where are they in Florida? The ones that don't return.
I mean, some of them are west. It's east. Some of them are on the East Coast. So I mean, it's definitely the possibility is there to schedule some meetings. You know, but the radius may be, you know, if I'm in Naples and it's, you know, there could be people in a 3-hour radius of there that I'd also be seeing. So it's a base camp. But, you know, I go down to Alabama usually once a year and I have 7 clients down there with a couple $1 million. So I'll go down for four days and, you know, have meetings at different locations throughout that time. And so I got Alabama figured out. It's some of these other locations where I actually haven't seen them face to face.
So what we do in the schedule then is to give them, let's say it's Alabama, and you can see three people in a day, one at 9, one at noon, and one at 4 or 3, right?
Okay.
So you take one to lunch and maybe you take one to dinner, maybe not, depending on whatever. They like to see you. They like to have a little time with you. And so what you do is say, okay. And typically when, you know, I see them on, I'll just throw it out, Tuesday. They like, you know, Monday they like to play golf. So Tuesday's a good day, or Monday's a terrible day for golf. So they like to see me on Monday. So you go down on, you know, whatever, Sunday, you see them 9, 12, and 3. Or 4 on Monday. And then Tuesday, you go 9, 12, and 3.
Okay.
So that's when you do your 12-4-2s for those people.
Okay.
So you tell them, you know, I'm going to come and see you. What's the best time? Noontime's taken, 4 or 9. And they go 9 would be good. Okay. And then 9 is taken and now it's, you know, 4 o'clock is available. Would you like that? Yes. Good. Okay. Now you got your Monday filled. Then you go to Tuesday and you fill that and so forth.
Okay.
All right. So you want to give your best clients, just think about it logistically too. Your travel. So first you take care of you. All right. So you want it easiest for you. So you don't make yourself crazy going between places and be late. So you give yourself enough time and space it out. But you could see 6 people in 2 days. So now you've cut it from 4 days down to 3 days. So you get 9, 12, and 3, 9, 12, and 3, and then 9, and then you go home. Okay?
Okay. All right. So I got that. That makes sense.
And so that would be a portion of your schedule for that would be their monthly calls.
Okay.
That's their time forever. So it's the first Monday of the month at 9 o'clock. That's when you see them in person. That's when you see them on the phone. So that's their time. That's their hour forever.
Okay.
All right. So it's not a date. It's the first Monday of the month. Okay, at 9 o'clock.
So speaking of Monday, so I know, you know, there's a lot in here about the 5-star meetings on Fridays. And I think the other part of this is a meeting on Monday is to kind of discuss the appointments set up for the week.
Right. And you can do that on Tuesday. You can do it whatever you want. I mean, that's the game board is your activity, your marketing initiative. So it could be Wednesday. But the idea is that you want to kind of spread out your meetings, and you want to focus one meeting on acquisition because it's 50% of your of your effort.
Mm-hmm. One meeting per day is acquisition.
Yeah, I mean, that your initiative is 50% of your day is acquisition. So you want to have a meeting solely around acquisition. And that's what the game board is. What did we do to connect to people? What did we do to help people? What did we do to become known and trusted in our community? What did we do to reach out? What does our pipeline look like? You know, what's it look like? I mean, every time you meet, you should have your pipeline tool out and looking at it and focused on who's in it and when will they pop out the end of the pipeline.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. What else did I want to talk about? The agenda and executive summary.
Yep.
Because that's part of week, that was part of week three. Obviously, we're getting the agenda out to them. I'm guessing there's a template that's.
Yes. In chapter 14, we have templates for everything as part of the workbook. Okay. So you have got templates for what should be in the folders.
Okay.
You have scripts. I think chapter 13 is scripts for talking to clients about all the different subjects. 14 is the enclosures for the folders, agendas, executive summaries, and other things.
Okay. So as I'm going through this top 20 now, this first call, I mean, I basically am doing, I'm using it as a time for a review. And oh, by the way, at the end, I'm talking to them about the service model and picking up the service model and saying to them, you know, we'll schedule our next call now. And this is what I want to be able to get to you. This, you know, at least contact one form or another 12 times a year. So I'm using emails as a part of that contact. I mean, my people are going to get emails from me every month now.
Well, they should you should actually, it's instead of 12.42, it turns out to be closer to 48.42.
Okay. All right.
So if you do the math, right, you send them an email with the agenda. That's mm-hmm. one contact, right? Yep. Then you contact them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you go through the review and then you send them an executive summary. That's 36 right there. Right.
Okay. And in the going to the executive summary for a second, that is there a template in the back that you like to use for that as well?
Yep. But I mean, just think about it as kind of where does the agenda come from? The agenda comes from their financial plan.
Right.
It's all the things that you didn't get to in the financial plan. And it's everything to do with them that they have to remember and do and execute on. So you're going to put dates in there. Let's say that they've committed to giving to University of Michigan or Michigan State. They've decided they're going to give $100,000 over 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So by June 1st, they've got to find stock that they're going to give away every year, $20,000. To the university before June 1st.
Okay.
That's their calendar year. That goes on the agenda.
Okay.
And you guys are thinking about that all the time. Market looks like it's, you know, it's January. Market looks good. Let's, you know, we don't have to give it away till June, but you know what? Microsoft is making new highs. Let's give it away.
Okay.
Okay. So you're thinking about what they need to do so they don't have to.
Yep.
And then that becomes part of the executive summary of who's responsible for doing what and making sure it gets done.
Okay.
Okay. So contact the CPA, you know, give away the stock, contact the university, make sure they know it's coming, you know, whose responsibility, you know, da, da, da. We made the decision to do Microsoft. That's done. That should be in there. So forth. Okay.
Okay. Got it. Just looking through my notes here. So talk about the client fiscal year for a second, if you can. I'm curious about that because, I mean, if we look at it and we say, okay, it's obviously it's May right now and it, you know, January is it January that if we're doing five in January, should I be focused on having five meetings a day my annual review? Is that
forget about annual reviews. Okay. You have two annual reviews, semi-annual reviews, and they will encompass whatever it is that whatever the time that they have their review. For example, I just had a review, right?
Mm-hmm.
On Tuesday, yesterday. And so we covered, you know, performance is only one small item in the annual review. So don't think of it as this is about performance.
That's what I got to get out of my head. Cause I mean, my whole thing is just like a blah, blah review of performance, asset allocation, cash flow. And it's like a broken record with this. And so I can see where this becomes a more meaningful piece.
Right.
Because now we're giving them more meat, more things to talk about and more things to express.
Right. So you've got a couple of numbers there. You got year to date performance, you know, versus whatever your perform versus their goal versus S&P versus whatever. And then, you know, in case they want to know how they did for year to date from, you know, how they did last year, you got that number. You know, we're up such and such, up 18% last year, and year to date, we're down, you know, 4%.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, you don't have to, unless you want to do something.
Right.
There's not a lot else to talk about when it comes to that. So okay. Then you go to, you know, the 529s that they want to fund for their grandchildren.
Yep. Okay.
Right.
Yep. And that makes good sense because that's, you know, I, those are the pieces that I miss, you know.
Well, you'll do more business because you're not going to be, you know, today you, others, their whole thing is, oh my God, I'm accountable for how I did versus the S&P 500. And I hope he doesn't move the account because we're down more than the S&P 500. That is nothing. I mean, that's a minor thing. Now the cash flow analysis, really good. I like that. I like you to do that. And I like to, you know, just kind of check in on that. You don't have to talk about it all the time, but it should be something that you keep pretty close tabs on.
Yeah. The cash flow piece has been, I mean, I know this isn't what Supernova is about, but I mean, that's been a big piece for me the past 2 years because it was two years ago. I got some people to get money out of the market, get it into CDs. You know, I took a hit to my business, but I basically said, you know, if I've got fixed income and I'm earmarking that for cash flow purposes, why not buy CDs and get them the most return on that we can get?
Yeah.
And that conversation has been a great conversation because it's put so many people's minds at ease during this time.
Right. You know, you've got a year, 2 years, 3 years worth of cash set aside so that you don't need to worry and that we can be a little more aggressive when it comes to, you know, what we're doing. So yeah, I think it's terribly important. My agenda, just to give you an idea, is two pages, full pages. Okay. The part that is action is like this big. So it's a page and a half of agenda items, and then action steps are maybe four items every month, you know. And we do it every month, but we don't have to do it every month. But I like to because, you know, just think about how much has changed every month.
Right.
And if you weren't on top of it, you could have really missed huge opportunities. So I tend to be a little more aggressive when it comes to, you know, wanting service, but I pay for it.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
So
okay. That makes sense.
Okay. So remember, we're thinking about three swimmers going down the pool. Segmentation, organization, and acquisition. So every week, we should have a piece associated with acquisition.
Okay.
Okay, so we really didn't spend much time talking about segmentation, a little bit. Spent most of the time talking about organization. So we need to spend a minute. You need to be prepared every week to think, how are we going to get this swimmer down the pool with acquisition? What's he doing? Can't be just sitting there, right? We want him to do laps, or we want him to win the race. So the things we're looking at is the top 20 or 30 clients. Where did they come from?
Yep.
And the purpose of that is to identify any particular niches that you have already that you may or may not be aware of, and then come up with a plan on how to develop those and use our existing relationships to build new relationships. Now, it's obvious. You know, it's like how, you know, Dr. Obvious.
Right.
But in reality, we don't always do that. We tend to ignore our existing clients and focus on new clients. Right. Well, we got a gold mine in our top 20 or 30 clients. They like us, they trust us, they want to help us. But we often don't work on that. So we want to work on that. So where did they come from?
My top 20?
Yep.
I mean, it came from a combination of referrals. It came from a combination of cold calls. It came from, you know, accounts that started out with $100,000 and 15 years ago, and over the last 15 years, I've built them up to, you know, add more assets in.
So when you say you cold call, you know, who did you cold call and what do they have in common?
Well, I got doctors. I mean, I got a lot of doctors in my book for sure.
Well, that's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
What kind of doctors?
Family practice doctors. Okay. I used to have a 401k plan for a family practice office. And when I got that plan, I made it a point to know all the doctors that were on the board and really get to know them. And I would do reviews with the 401k plan. And when I did that, I get to meet doctors in the group and it just allowed me to get a natural niche of people that I could start to talk to. And so a part of my book is definitely coming from that.
How many of those do you have?
In my top 20, I've got five doctors.
Okay.
And so, you know, that as a percentage doesn't really earmark as a natural niche, but it's definitely
that's a lot. Right? That's 25% of your practice.
Yeah, no, I mean, I should say the top. Yeah, I mean, it's 25% of my top 20. Let's put it that way. It's not 20%.
No, but it's, you know, the top 20 clients probably represent maybe 60, 70% of your practice.
Yeah. Yep. And then I've got, I got a couple business owners, you know, I got a couple business owners that own insurance companies and dry cleaners and retired dry cleaners and real estate, retired real estate, corporate real estate people and lawyers, judges, beer distributors. It's an interesting, there's the doctors is really the one, doctors and business owners are really the ones that stand out. And I, you know, looking at,
when you look at it, which would you like more of?
I mean, I like the doctors. I don't mind working with doctors. I've always had a good relationship with doctors over the years, and they've always, you know, trusted my work, and I've really been able to do well in building practices with them.
And most FAs aren't really good at that. They don't like doctors because they think they're arrogant and smart and so forth. So that makes you kind of unique. All right, you're going to pick, so that would be number one. If you're going to pick number two of the list and you'd like more of them, which would it be?
The CEO, business owners I like too, you know, I like speaking with business owners.
But which, what kind of business owners?
Well, that's the problem, man. It's a spread out niche for sure. It's it's not a consistent group. That's for sure. But with that said, one thing that's popping into my mind on all this is I do have a client that worked for PP&L and did really, really well. You know, he was just a lineman with PP&L and he ended up retiring with over $1 million in investments. And, that could be a niche right there. Insurance agents are another one. So as business owners, I have several insurance agents.
Okay, so of these people, are any of them centers of influence?
Doctor-wise, yes. I got a doctor, John Pagano, that's a big center of influence. Yep.
Okay. Any others?
I got another guy that owns a radio station that's definitely a center of influence. I'm just going through the book again here to see, to try to pick something out, because I know this is a big piece. I never looked at my book deeply like this.
Funny.
So these centers of influence, we only have a couple minutes left here. You want to give me a quick...
All right, so here's what we're going
to
do.
On how to tackle these centers of influence.
All right, so what I want you to physically do, and whether this is where the folders kind of come in. But, you know, we're not in the office, and it becomes more difficult. But this is what I would tell you to do at this point. I would tell you to build a folder for John Pagano as a separate folder as a COI, okay? Mm-hmm. And we're going to find time for John every month. So we're going to basically do 12-4-2 with John outside of his 12-4-2 that he gets as a client.
Okay.
Okay. And then with our radio owner, we're going to do the same thing. 12-4-2.
Okay.
And then with the insurance agent, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to, you know, if we have to develop him as a center of influence as inside the niche of insurance agents and
yep.
agencies. Okay.
Yep.
And then we'll explore. So then we take Dr. John. Okay. We did him. This is the doctor niche.
Yep.
So you see, We're finding a niche. Inside each niche, we have to have a center of influence. So if we have like the PP&L is a great niche, but we need a COI inside there. So you have a client, but is he a COI?
Okay.
So he might be. And if not, maybe he could introduce us to somebody that would become a COI.
Okay.
So with the niches, I want you to build a folder for the niche and then put the doctor inside the niche.
So, okay.
And so for a radio station owners, we're going to build a niche. The title is going to be radio station owners or radio station. Yeah, I like that. Radio station owners, very specific. And then inside that will be our COI. And then monthly, we're going to work on that. Okay. And I'll show you how to do that in the book, The Supernova Multiplier. So your homework is to read the chapter on COIs and niches in The Supernova Multiplier. Because we don't have time for me to, I can teach you this, but it'll take another 15 minutes, which we don't have.
No, okay, so that's okay. That's in the book. Okay.
It's all in the book. So I have seven marketing ideas for you. And I go through and it really detail on how to do it.
Okay.
So I'd rather have you read it and then come up with questions for me on how it applies to you.
Okay.
Okay. But you've got good niches, good starting places for niches.
Yep.
And you've got good COIs and good starting places for those.
Okay.
And you, by reading the chapter, you'll know exactly where I'm trying to get you. And then you figure out, okay, this is where I am now. This is where Rob wants me to go. And these are the steps he tells me I have to take. And then you can ask me questions about those steps.
Okay.
Okay. So it's all there and it will really work. And like you said, I haven't really looked at my book this deeply. Well, we're going to do that. We're going to keep doing that.
Okay.
And the more homework you do, the more initiative you take, the better we'll do together.
Okay.
All right.
Got it.
So thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate you listening in.
Yeah,
you don't have to be on video if you don't want to be, because it's kind of like, you know, someone's stalking me or something.
No, I don't mind. It's just
okay.
I have a lot of people emailing things that need to be done.
No, and I appreciate you getting stuff done while we're talking.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of the video with you, Rick, if you don't mind. I think it's good. Yeah. We get some body language from it and all that stuff. So.
Yep, of course.
Okay, terrific. Okay. Well, good job. Nice progress. And look forward to next week.
Yep, okay? Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.